Escape is two books in one. The story follows Jason Wells, a college student gifted with an incredible knack for problem solving, as he follows the trail initiated by a piece of parchment found in his grandfather's garage. That trail leads to treasure, danger, adventure, and mysterious acquaintances. Jason finds himself repeatedly in situations where his skill for finding answers is his only hope. There is much more to the story than he knows. There is also much more to the book itself. Each chapter is filled with puzzles that the reader has the chance to solve. It is an escape room in print. At the end of each chapter are questions that can be answered from the details in the reading and hints to help the reader if they find themselves stuck. The book also includes a complete set of instructions at the end. Escape is an adventure, both for the main character and the reader. Get your digital copy of award-winning author James Rumpel's Escape at www.mythmart.com.
And now, enjoy this free JZO Modcast show.
Hey there, this is Ralph Garman, and you are listening to the World of Myth Bits. You made an excellent choice.
G'day from SA. This is Tim here with episode 273 of the World of Myth Bits. Welcome, everyone. Hopefully you managed to catch my wonderful interview with the lovely Lisa Huffins-Owens from Texas. What a joy it was to chat with you, Lisa. Such a wonderful supporter of my writing and, of just writers in general, which it's so good that we have that connection, we have that society of creators that somehow, like, regardless of where you are in the world, what Facebook groups that you belong to, we all seem to intermingle, we all seem to interact, and we're all so family? No? Maybe family, but it's so supportive of each other. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So thank you for that opportunity, Lisa, to be able to chat with you about writing and finding out what exciting things that you've got coming up and sort of sharing the things that I'm working on as well. This episode is the review episode for April for magazine number 125. But before we get into that amazing issue of the World of Myth magazine, just wanted to mention a few things, a few housekeeping things. El Presidente, Mr. David K. Montoya, he said nothing to announce this time around for housekeeping. And so I sort of threw a few things at him and he's like, oh yeah, so maybe mention those. So off the top, make sure that we jump on mythmart.com. There's always something new, always something coming out from Dark Myth. There's new short story books, there's new poetry, there's new, like, there's a range of stuff for kids on there. There's such wonderful, unique, incredible, amazing things that you can purchase, and every dollar spent helps the company to be able to support us as writers, as creators, to be able to do more. It's a vicious circle of support and opportunity. So please jump on. And speaking of MythMart, don't forget, of course, Book of the Month. So make sure that you sign up for Book of the Month. And then you get regular lovely little gifts in the mail from this amazing company. Might even be one of my books. Who knows? There's also Open Contract Challenge. Open Contract Challenge, of course, has closed for 2024.
and announcing the contestants for the 2024 Open Contract Challenge, year 6 of this competition. Contestant number 1 is me, Tim Law. Contestant 2, Belinda Brady. Contestant 3, Jim Bates. Contestant 4, Loretta Stradley. Contestant 5, C.L. Steele. Contestant 6, Luna Bertram. Contestant 7, Alan Russo. Contestant 8, Gabriella Balcom. Contestant 9, Linda Suave. Contestant 10, Tate Dorsett. And the wild card is Christopher Bice. Congratulations to this tough competition. So some great entries there, some very well-known names. So congratulations all. Moving on to round 2.
I don't know if we've all managed to look through the issue 125 of the World of Myth magazine. Just wanting to bring to everyone's attention, if you do have an idea for a podcast, the JZOMON Podcast Network is looking for, I think, is it 4 or 5 new podcast ideas to add to the family? This particular podcast, of course, The World of Myth Bits, is included in amongst that. But there's a great range of different podcasts that that JZOMON already produces. So if you are interested, if you do have an idea, check out the magazine, check out the section, the advert, I guess, in the magazine. That's asking people to send in details, and also ZombieWorks. There's an open opportunity for submitting traditional monster stories for Monsterthology 3. So if you have an idea of a traditional classic monster story, I'm thrilled that I'm in with my story Immor Fatality, I encourage you to send in. I think the cutoff is August, might be the end of August, 31st of August, I believe. But if you've got an idea, if you've got it ready, send it now, by all means. Better to know now that you're in, rather than wait, forget, and then miss out on this incredible, wonderful opportunity. So, getting into to the magazine. And I have to say, this cover, absolutely stunning at first glance. The message that that Steph sent out, the Facebook post that Dave put up on the World of Myth magazine Facebook page, this cover definitely caught my eye. And then I clicked on the website, clicked on the cover, and a little deeper examination and the true nature of this stunning beauty is revealed. Sexy, but scary. I'm so confused. So thank you for that, Dave. And thank you to the artist for producing such an incredible piece. Congratulations to poet Christopher Bice for Member of the Month for March. Yes. I'm recording this now in May, but the magazine's the April magazine. So congratulations, Christopher, for March for Member of the Month. And it's great to see a poet getting such wonderful support. Thank you to Chief Editor Stephanie Looper J. Bardi for mentioning my story, The Teacher, in her intro. So Lupa has also mentioned September and the fact that I reckon we're 5 issues away, issue 130. This will in fact be the 20th anniversary of the World of Myth magazine. So 20 years is a massive, massive effort. Steph took up the mantle of chief editor, I reckon, at the 15th anniversary. So I've been doing it for 5 years. It's like a massive, massive effort, Steph. And so she managed to do, the 15th anniversary issue. And she's asking, can we make the 20th even bigger and even better and even more amazing than that that 15th? It's incredible going through the old episode, the old issues of the World of Myth magazine, and actually seeing what pieces, how big they made the first year anniversary edition. I'm really, really excited. This will be issue 30 will be the biggest and the best. We will make sure of it. So great to see old favorites and new in this issue, issue 125. And so let's dig past the bodies and see just what we find hidden amongst the pages. And we kick off with Alan Ashley in Drabble and Flash with Daedalus Designs Limited. Everything you touch seems to turn to gold, Alan. So be careful, very careful with that ability. It's a great Drabble or Flash piece to kick this off. And then we come to Gabriella Balcom with Ugly as Can Be. This is the first, I reckon, of three pieces that Gabriella has in this magazine. Congratulations to you. Not your record. I think, was it six? I reckon you got in one issue. But some great pieces nonetheless. I love your quirkiness, Gabriella. And your often dark sense of humour. So evident with this piece of Flash. Then Leeches by Jim Bates. Such a sweet memory, Jim. Such a sweet, sweet memory. Hemlock by Nikki Delmas. As dark as Dick's pocket, this one. Very clever, Nikki. Then Drone On, Part 1 by Kate McDonald Dunbar. Such a fun look at such a mundane future. Great job, Kate. I look forward to seeing where this future takes us. Then we finish off Drabble and Flash with the Alien of Orchard Lake teaser, Chapter 10, by Mr. Jim Bates. With this teaser, Jim gives us just enough to want more. So if you do want more, please, and here's like a shameless pitch, please jump onto mythmart.com and purchase a copy of this wonderful book for yourself or for a friend who likes modern day quirky alien weird conspiracy. This is a great story, a great book, and you can get it at a great price at mythmart.com. Then Children's Lit. We start with me. Bull story continues in For the Show. Bull does things his way in this mix of D&D and WWE. I hope you enjoy. Then we shed a tear with The Teacher, Chapter 7. This, the sequel to The Neighbor, comes to hopefully a fitting ending. I would love to hear what you all think of The Teacher. Just so happy and so excited that it's one that has been selected by Dark Myth to be published in a much, much edited form in September to coincide, I think, around World Teacher Day. I'm incredibly honoured to have this one, to have had the Neighbour published by you, Steph and Dave, and to have this one, The Teacher, scheduled as well. I'm very, very excited. Then we move into fantasy, and of the Nomad by J. Hold on. Just going to whack my glasses on and see if I can read my writing. That's much better. Boon of the Nomad by J. Agnobar. I'm sorry, Jay. But anyway, this story is epic. So much complexity. And yet, so heroic. Then, Contentedly Ever After by Peggy Gerber. Is happiness truly attainable? This is such a clever retelling, Peggy. Well done. And Pietra's Tale, part 32. This story is so close to its end. And yet there is still so much more to tell. I love Pietra, Anton, and the gang. I shall miss them. Only one more chapter to go for this one. Yeah, this is super, super exciting too. My journey with Pietra has been one over a number of years now. It's going to be weird to sort of bring it all to a close. And then there's so much more of the story to tell, the sort of the in-between gaps. So that's something that I'm excited about too. Horror. And we move on to, we kick off, sorry, with our Queen of Scream, Dawn DeBrow, with The Basers. What a wild ride, Dawn. I have to say, I think Hank is a complete and utter legend. You've got to read this story. You have to read this story. Then Action and Suspense, Calming Chaos, Part 1 by Darnell Cureton. What a fascinating story, Darnell. Definitely the bad and the ugly of society has their tune changed, at least for now. And Gabriella Balcom is back with The Red, Grey, Black and White Part 2, a very different version of US history. 1920-21 Part 2, this one's me. This is certainly a different genre for me, and I do hope I'm still telling a decent tale. It's a challenge, that's for sure. But I love a challenge. So, hopefully those of you who are reading it are enjoying it. And, I look forward to seeing what comes out next month in Part 3. Then, In the Midst of Normalcy by Tom Fowler. And Tom, I should probably take a leaf out of your book and sort of pay some real attention to how you're pacing your story and sort of what's involved. In chapters 39 and 40, Tom gives us more of a glimpse into the family dynamic. Murder has perhaps been on the cards for a little while. I'm really enjoying this, Tom. You are pacing it very, very well. Then science fiction. Sleepy and TNT. This is Gabriella's third and final piece this issue. And I have to say, meow. Yep. This was a clever one, Gabriella. Makes me wonder about the four cats that I live with. And I'm just looking at one now, slumbering on top of the couch. And I'm thinking, where are the other three? A lot to worry about, that's for sure. And then we dip into humor. Just Your Typical Evening by James Rumpel. James is such a talented storyteller. There are numerous spots where I've come across his works. Just going to give a shout out to the wonderful podcast, The Kaidon Kai, the ghosts and supernatural stories that Linda Gould narrates. Just recently listened to a story by James there. So interesting, the whole under the sea, the unexplored depths, the weird alien, there's a lot there. And this one here, Just Your Typical Evening by James Rumpel. Oh, so good. It is simply dripping with evil. Loved it, James.
Absolutely loved it. But then I'm not surprised.
I do. I love everything that you do. So keep it up. Keep sending those things in for us, James. You send them. You write them. You send them. Steph will say, yep. And I'll happily review them. And then we move on to poetry. The Apotheosis of Beelzebub by Angela Costa. The Ruthlessness of the World. When True Evil Wins. A frightful vision, this one. A very, very frightful vision. But then when you're messing around with these types of big, big players, I suppose. The world can turn into a frightful place. And if we're not careful, it possibly will. Lost at Sea by John Chinaka Onya J. Sorry, John. It's Lost at Sea by John Chinaka Onya J. John, I have to say, your depiction of the ferocity of the ocean is truly visionary. As a Cancerian, as somebody whose grandparents lived very close to the beach, the ocean in all of its forms is my happy place. I love just going down to see the Goolwa Beach on the South Australian coast. In the middle of winter, even, rug up, boots on, walk along the beach, hand in hand with my gorgeous girl, and just looking out across the grey sky, the big thick clouds, and just the churning wildness of the ocean. Or beautiful summer's day, board shorts, thongs, a rashy shirt, the sunscreen on, hat and sunnies, and sort of just going for a wander along the warm sand, or sort of having a bit of a splash in the ocean. It might be a little rough depending on the wind, but you can most likely expect these beautiful calm days, this beautiful blue-green sea. People everywhere, of course, but just the sort of the vibe of the joy of being there and smelling that sea air, and just the healing of the body, mind and spirit that you get from such a beautiful place. But the way that you've described the ocean for us on this occasion, John, it's magic. Yeah, it scares me, but it also makes me want to go. It makes me want to be there and visit and see what you've seen. Then Ken Goss comes to us with a delightful poem called No One in Particular Walked Into a Bar for a Poetry Reading. And this is clever, Ken. Your poetry always paints such an interesting vision. I wonder if this is personal experience, perhaps, or just a wicked, wicked, clever imagination. And then we move on to another regular submitter to the poetry section in Lynn White with her poem Quicksilver. Got a question here. Just the messenger. This is like a line from the poem, which I thought was quite interesting, quite powerful. Have to say, I wonder very much about that as well, Lynn. The messenger decides just how the message is delivered. So can you really claim I'm just the messenger? And then Redemption by Kate McDonald Dunbar. There have been a few pieces by from Kate, and we regularly see her in the story section and the poetry section, which is great to have your regular submissions, Kate. This occasion, Redemption, a true tale of redemption. I loved all the characters in this piece, Kate. I do think that you have a real talent for painting a complete picture of your characters. And Redemption is certainly no exception. Then Legend of the Firefly by G. Lynn Brown. This was cool. I like this piece. Makes me want to see fireflies in real life. For this poetic description just teases in its delightful detail. I have to admit, I don't think I've ever seen a firefly. I've never seen a glowworm. I've never seen these bizarre, weird, wonderful creatures that light up in the night, that sort of try and signal each other in the darkness and say, hey, I'm over here. I definitely like this, and this makes me want to go out. There was a chance where traveling from South Australia through Victoria, that as a family, like as a two family trip that we quite often do, we had the opportunity to go to a glowworm cave, and unfortunately the day that we had with travel and the activity that we did was massive and such a long, it was basically, you know what, we got to the house where we're staying and we just wanted to stay there, set ourselves up for the night and just stay. And I was like, oh, but we're so close to the glowworms. And it was no. So I think next time we pass through that area, or next time we get anywhere near the mention of fireflies, I want to go. I have to go. This is something I have to see. And then our final piece in the poetic realm, To Say I Love You, Son, by Fen M. What does it mean to be a man? And what does it mean to be a father? Actions speak louder than words. Or do they? As a father myself with a son, you sort of wonder what sort of relationship that you do have with your kids. And as they grow older, that relationship does change. What does it mean to be a man? And what sort of example are we setting for the future men? What does it mean to be a father? And how will my son be a father when he has his kids? There's a lot to unpack here. You're asking some very interesting questions, Fen, and I can see that you're asking them of yourself, and you're almost berating yourself for the choices that you've made. Or I guess as a parent, we do the best that we possibly can. That's all that we can do. And unfortunately, we only get one chance to do it. So, hopefully the poems that you write, Fen, are read by your son and the message gets through of just how much that you do love him and just how much that you are proud of him. And hopefully in return, he loves you as strongly, and he's as proud to call you dad as you are to call him son. So then we move into a less anxious or a less emotional section of the magazine. in Creative Youth Art Gallery. And we start off with Crybaby by Lily M. Montoya. Lily, this girl is really, 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 really cool. I love it, Lily. Is it you, I wonder? Are you basing your art on you or on the sort of friends of yours? I get an inkling that it is you. It's a sweet black and white piece with just so much detail. I love it. I'm sure that you're proud of it. I'm sure that that Dave and Steph are proud of it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how you grow as an artist, what you've got coming up next. Hopefully you're working on a piece for issue 126. And yeah, it's wonderful to see you and also to see Zoe regularly sending in pieces. I absolutely love it. If I could, 5 stars, definitely. But I like the fact that that Dave's made that rule that we can't vote for pieces done by anybody who I think is under 16, under 18. I'm not sure. But anyway, the Crybaby, Lily, awesome job. And then into the next piece in the Creative Youth Gallery. The second and final piece, but by no means least piece, indeed, A Nerd by Zoe M. Montoya. All teeth, all hair, all big brain. I love it, Zoe. Just love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Is this you? I know I ask this question every single time, and I answer it myself by going, yep, definitely. Big brain especially. But yeah, I love it. If this is you, Zoe, embrace the nerdiness. Embrace the creativity. Embrace. A friend of mine actually sent me a segment of an interview with John Cleese talking about creative people. And John Cleese is quoted as saying that creative people do not have a higher IQ than other people, like other not so creative people. They do have a reasonably high IQ, but what helps us to be creative people is the ability to still see joy, to tap into that younger child, and to throw caution to the wind and just go, I'm going to create. It's unique. Not everybody is that type of person. And you find it a lot in artists, in writers, in poets, that ability to tap into that inner child and listen to it and run with it. So, Montoya girls, keep tapping into that inner child. Keep finding that inspiration around you and draw. Draw, 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 draw. I love it. I love it. And then we move on to Art Gallery. And we kick off with our wicked cover, Corpse Bride by Tatiana Salete. Killer cover. Literally. I was caught by the pretty face and, I have to admit, other things. I did not notice at first glance the zombiness. And my chat with Dave, it made Dave smile. He's like, yep, that's why I picked it for the cover. The cleverness when you actually look in greater detail at the whole picture,
you see things that make it utterly obvious. Of course, I should have known. Why didn't I pick up that straight away? And then you think back and you smirk and you go, yeah, I know why I didn't pick it up straight away. But now that I see it, I can't unsee it. So very, very, very clever, Tatiana. Wicked, wicked cover. And then me, the flaming redhead that caught my eye. I'm so happy with how this picture turned out. It's captured the idea that popped. Is for once, I've had an idea for a drawing pop into my head, and I managed to make that drawing come to life, become the vision that I had. And so, yeah, so I'm incredibly, incredibly happy. But I know I'm a long, long way from producing something like Corpse Bride. I want to do one day to do an image that Dave will go, yep, that's the cover. But I'm a long, long way from that. So, keep trying. Keep messing around with ideas. The more you draw and the more you try, the better you get. And I'll have to admit that I'm evidence of that. Then we've got The Morning After by Eric Rivera. Oh, what a night. This poor figure is where many of us have found ourselves at least once or twice in our lives. Yeah, not fond memories, but this one made me smile. The poor guy. Oh, well. And then Stress by Mock Jr. Stunning. Depicts the chaos of emotion so brilliantly. And this one's another one where you look and you see, and then you look again and you see more. So much more. It just takes you deeper and deeper, and yeah. It's an experience. Then we finish off Art Gallery with Friend by God's Power D. Patrick. And God's Power, I have to say, I want this girl to be my friend. She seems so awful. No, she seems so awesome and confident and just cool. She would be cool to hang around with. I hope that this girl is someone who you've based this picture off a friend, that this person is in your life, because she deserves to be out of your imagination and in reality. I think, sure, she'd be like everyone else, she'd have her issues, her problems, but she just seems like such a cool character that she'd be amazing to hang out with. Then we move on to Film Review with Sarcastically Cynical Sally. And when I saw the cover of the movie that Sally's reviewing this month, I shut the magazine down. I couldn't go any further. I went, no way, should not be allowed. I will not be reading this review. Sarcastically Cynical Sally reviews a childhood favourite of mine in Fern Gully. Actually, to be honest, I cannot remember if this might have come out in my, like, on the cusp of my preteen years. I reckon I might have been 12, 13 when it came out. Maybe older. I can't remember if this is the inner child again. I can't remember if this came out when my kids were young, like four, five, six, and we watched it as a family and loved it, or if I watched it as like a preteen and loved it, and then watched it with my kids because it's such an amazing film. Sarcastically cynical Sally is not allowed to tear this film apart. Fern Gully is a children's classic, or a family film classic. So I almost refused to read this, but thought I must review all of the reviews. Dave's made the rules. You have to follow the rules. And I'm so glad I did. Sally's sweet and sentimental this time. She watched it with some young nieces and nephews of hers. And the sentimental, what I remember of the film, I'm so happy to say that Sally feels exactly the same. This is a beautiful film. This does have an important message. And the people, the voices involved, like the A-grade actors involved in... Oh, it makes me want to sit down and watch it again. So thank you, Sally. But also thank you for promising to bring your sarcastic best next month with... is it Moviegoer Grimm? With his neck, you've let Grimm select another terrible horror film for you both to watch and for you to review. So I bow to your braveness, and I cannot wait to see what you have in store for us as you give the next film both barrels, because I think you've been awfully, awfully kind to Fern Gully, but it's exactly what it deserves. I mean, there's nobody, I'm sure, that will say that Fern Gully is not a special movie. And then continuing with reviews, we have the literature review from our regular submitter, Michael A. Arnold. George Orwell's The Clergyman's Daughter. This one's an interesting one for Michael. A disappointment for the author, a disappointment for Michael, but an interesting review for us. Michael goes into great depth talking about the story, talking about his experiences, his emotional experiences, his roller coaster of hope, then perhaps annoyance, and then disappointment. But at the same time, he's going in knowing fully well that the author, or Orwell himself, has said this is not his best work. Michael just hopes that that it's a hidden gem. For those of us who haven't read it, maybe read the review and then decide whether you want to read it or not. Those of you who have read The Clergyman's Daughter, please take the time to read Michael's review and see if you agree. And then art review, Michael A. Arnold once again. This time Michael focuses this month on the trend of groups, political or environmental, who are attempting to ruin famous artworks to highlight their organization and the causes they promote, or the causes they represent. Michael is very anti these groups and what it is that they do. It's somewhat a waste of time, it seems, since no actual damage has been done. And Michael is he sort of goes into the depth of looking at the age and the condition of these pieces and the miracle that what's happening to these artworks, the miracle that no actual permanent damage has been done. It's an interesting review, most definitely. And well worth the time, well worth having a look at. And then we move on to the commentary from founder Mr. David K. Montoya, aptly titled,
Welcome to my soapbox. It's interesting reading between the lines here. And it's not hard to read between the lines. Steph brings the fun. And now the fun is gone. That's sort of the message that I'm getting from reading this from you, Dave. And I get it. Like, just even in the brief conversations that I sort of have with Steph, the stuff that she posts, the messages, the short emails that sort of come through when that acceptance, what's going into the next magazine, Steph is just really a really, really cool person, and to be able to have her in your life, I think would be very, very, very special. So when that time comes each year where she migrates back homeward, I mean, I'm lucky in that I have a home and I have a family, and I don't really have massively strong connections to, there's no annual trip that I take away from my family to visit relatives or friends interstate or overseas or that sort of thing. I mean, it would be wonderful to take the whole family along for that sort of trip and sort of catch up with everyone, I guess. But the fact that Steph is making that regular trek from California back to Canada, or from Canada back to California, and whether it's by plane or by car or whatever it is, she's doing it on her own most of the time, and she's leaving a hole wherever it is that she's left from. Dave does go on, though, to mention the open contract challenge. Do it, says Dave. Do it. But now it's done, I have to say. Don't send in your submission to Open Contract Challenge, because the submission window for 2024 for the Open Contract Challenge number year six is done and dusted and closed. And they are currently voting for the pieces that they want to go through. But it's lovely that Dave actually puts in there, in his soapbox piece, the opportunity, the great prize, and the fact that literally chapbooks, comics, whatever art form, whatever creativity that you have in your head that you want to get down on a page, that you want to get published, this is the platform to do it. This is such a great, wonderful, wild, incredible opportunity. American Smash 1/2 is now done, as well as sent out into the world for free comic book day. That is kind of cool. That is a massive effort, Dave. A massive, massive effort. Congratulations and well done. And I have read the comic and I have laughed myself silly. So those of us who were able to get your hands on a copy of this comic and getting it signed by the amazing David K. Montoya, congratulations to you all. Hopefully we did take up the opportunity to celebrate World Comic Book Day. Free Comic Book Day. World Comic Book Day? Yeah. Maybe the same thing. I don't know. But anyway... and also new podcasts. Current podcasts, I mentioned. Yeah, Dave mentions the desire for adding new podcasts. Mentions the current podcasts. Also, I just wanted to say thank you, sir, for the nod in your little piece at the back there. I am also loving memory lane, the great trip down memory lane. Good fun, good times. And I'm looking forward to, what are we? We've done 2004, done 2005. So now we're moving into 2006. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many issues. I think 2006, or have we done 2006? I don't know. I'm not sure. The memory is a blur. But going back to the past and looking at past issues of the magazine is fun. And then 6 degrees Celsius. Dave does mention that with everything else that he's had going on, with Steph away, not giving him that reminder to get the piece in, he did not get a piece for this written in time. So he has promised a double episode next month. So jump on board the advert train. Jump on board the advert train. So yes, mentioning as well the opportunity to send in your desire for marketing as well. Yes, so much going on. Glad you've stopped for long enough to jot it all down, my friend. So much going on here too. So yeah, the opportunity to write a bit more, to catch up with my son, a few anime that we're looking at together, and hopefully a chance to start reviewing some of those older issues of the magazine as well. So this is Tim signing off, saying ciao for now, and make sure that you're getting your pieces written and sent for issue 126 of the World of Myth magazine, coming out at the end of May.